I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. Welcome to our morning worship at Trinity Baptist Church, Maryport. Shall we come before God in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, we come into your holy presence through the shed atoning blood and sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fact that in Christ you have provided a Saviour for sinners, one in whom we can be forgiven all our sins. And we thank you on faith in him that we have the enormous privilege of being able to come boldly into thy presence in prayer. Help us always as your children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to take everything to you in prayer. To, in the first place, before we do things, to get alone with you and to cry to you for your help, for your guidance. We pray you will help us as your people, because we recognize so often the good we would do, we don't do, and the evil we would not do, we do. We thank you that when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We thank you that his blood goes on cleansing us from all sin. And if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as we come before you this morning, we pray that by thy Holy Spirit, through your word, you would speak to each one of our hearts. Give us ears to hear what you say to us. But importantly, give us hearts to believe and obey what you say. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you now turn with me in the word of God to the second book of Chronicles, and chapter 20. The second book of Chronicles, chapter 20. It is quite a long chapter, but we will read the chapter. It came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hands are not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berachah unto this day. And they retained every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries, when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhil. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away. For as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavar, of Marashah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. Well, may God bless to our hearts that reading from his word. On Sunday mornings, we're continuing to seek to learn from people, incidents in the Old Testament, of the great danger of spiritual half-heartedness or apathy or indifference. And this morning I want us to look at the fourth king of Judah, whose name was Jehoshaphat. He was very much something of a mixed bag spiritually, as we can all be as believers in Christ. In some areas he was very spiritually strong, to be commended, yet in other areas he was weak and not to be commended. Indeed, his behavior then caused some long-term problems for the people of Judah. But let's begin with the positive. Jehoshaphat wisely, early on in his reign, strengthened Judah's defenses on its northern border, ensuring that the kingdom of Judah was more secure. And he sought also to have a just, fair legal system. You see, in chapter 19 of 2 Chronicles, he sought to have a system where they would execute justice in the land in a way which would have God's approval. In 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 6, he sought to remove some of the idolatry from the nation. And in chapter 17, verses 7 to 9, he appointed those who would teach God's law throughout the nation during his long reign of 25 years. And as for his personal character, well, it was summed up for us in our reading in chapter 20 and verse 32. He sought to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So he sought to follow God. He sought to live according to God's commandments. But as we shall see, sadly, he didn't always do that. And neither do you as a believer in Christ. For while you may, as a believer in Christ, seek to follow the Lord Jesus with all your heart, do what's right in his sight, obey his commandments, while that should be the general summary of the life of all Christians, there'll be times when you don't do that, when you sin, when you find that the good that you would do, you don't do, and the evil you wouldn't do, you do. John, in his first epistle, writing to believers in Christ in fellowship with God, says, If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But thankfully, John reminds us, when we do sin as Christians, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He reminds us that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, goes on cleansing us from all sin. He reminds us, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But as a Christian, it's no use you dwelling on continually individual failings in your life as a believer or the failings of other believers or dwelling upon the failures of the men and women of God we read of in the Bible. For example, if you were simply in the Old Testament to look at some of the incidents, the behavior of David, you would quickly come to the conclusion he wasn't a man of God, he wasn't a child of God. You'd be wrong, though, because God describes him as a man after his own heart. Or reading in the New Testament about Peter, who sought to stop Jesus washing his feet, stop Jesus going to the death of the cross, three times denied the Lord Jesus Christ. You could think this man's no believer, but of course you'd be mistaken. Christ chose him to be an apostle. He was used by God in the establishment of the early church. And he was used by God to write two of the books in God's word in the New Testament. You see, it's the overall, the whole tenor direction of a person's life that is really the important thing. If an individual professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the whole direction and tenor of their life after that time is to continually disobey God's commands in their personal behavior, to neglect the spiritual things God has told them to do, it shows while they profess faith in Christ, they're without the possession of genuine faith in him. Because genuine faith in Christ will result in the believer, no matter all their shortcomings and sinful failings, living a life in which they're seeking to follow Christ with all their heart, a life in which they are seeking to live in obedience to God's commandments. And we see something of the godliness of Jehoshaphat in what we read in 2 Chronicles 20. You see, the people of Judah are facing attack by the Moabites, the Ammonites, and others with them. It was a large, formidable force that was coming against them. Jehoshaphat receives an intelligence report in verse 2 telling him a great multitude are coming against them. Not surprisingly, he was somewhat fearful for the people of Judah. They were in danger of being totally overrun and losing their land. But in his fearful concern as to what was going to happen, what is the first thing he does? It's not to try and organize and gather his forces together. We're told the first thing he did was, in verse 3, to set himself to seek the Lord. First things first, and as far as Jehoshaphat was concerned, the first thing he needed to do was to seek God's help in this desperate situation. And he declares a national fast which expressed their earnestness in seeking the help of God. And he gathers the nation collectively together to prayerfully seek God's help. There are times when we alone as believers in Christ will seek God's help in prayer. But there are also times when we need, as a child of God, the Church of Christ, to unite together in prayer for us. But when anything ever happens in life to cause us to be fearful, we need to immediately take it to the Lord in prayer, who has promised to be our helper. One of our members of the past who was in glory, Ruth, used to love the expression, said it time and time again, man's extremity is God's opportunity. And Jehoshaphat and Judah's extremity here was now God's opportunity. So the people gathered, and Jehoshaphat the king leads them in prayer. Because in all the dangers and extremities of life as believers, we should prayerfully look to God for help. And in his prayer in verse 6, first of all, he acknowledges that God is the sovereign ruler over all. He acknowledges that God is in great power and nobody can withstand him. If God was on their side, working on their behalf, it wouldn't matter the size or the power of the invading forces. Paul puts it this way in the New Testament concerning believers, Christ's church. If God be for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Joseph says, you are our God, who has helped us by your great power in the past to take possession of the land you promised, which he says in verse 11, they are now seeking to take from us. You see, the confidence we have as individual believers in prayer to God is that God is my God. The confidence the church has is that God is our God. Joshua makes mention of the temple in verse 9, which was the symbol of God's presence amongst them, and therefore encouragement for them to come before him, seeking his help in this time of affliction. And notice his submission to God in prayer in verse 12. Wilt thou not judge them? That is the invading nations. So on the one hand, he recognizes God's sovereign and almighty power, and if it pleases God to do so, to help them, nobody could withstand them. But he also recognizes and understands God's ways are not always our ways. And sometimes, in fact, for his glory and our God, it's not God's will to immediately help and deliver us as we would wish. But we have to recognize his will is best. He is an all-wise God. It is that sick man said to Jesus in the New Testament, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. On the one hand, he recognized the power of Christ. You can make me whole. But also he recognized that it might not be his will to do so. If thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And we have to keep and maintain this balance, never ever doubting God's power and ability to help in whatever way we're seeking his help, but always submitting to his will. You see, it's never ever the case that God hasn't got the power to help us, but it may be in his infinitely wise will, not his purpose to do so. And Jehoshaphat is very specific in his prayer. O our God, judge them, he says in verse 12. Sometimes we're far, far too gentle in our prayer. As was famously once said, we aim and we ask for nothing in prayer and we get what we ask for. And how honest he is in his prayer to God. He says, we've got no might against this company, this invading army. We've got no idea what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And when we come before God in prayer as believers, we often need to say to God, I've got no power, no ability to do anything about this trial, this problem, difficulty. No, God, I just don't have any power and I have no idea what to do. But my eyes are upon you. I'm looking to you, my Heavenly Father, to help me. You see, God our Father, Christians, a far, far greater Father than any earthly father. And which earthly father can really, a good one, turn their backs upon their child if they looked at them and said, Dad, I can't do anything about this. I've no idea what to do. Help me. Well, God, our Heavenly Father, is our helper. And as believers, we need to recognize how able and willing he is to help us when it's his sovereign will to do so. Well, God, by his Spirit, answers Jehoshaphat's prayer on behalf of the nation of Judah through a Levite. First of all, calming their fears, he says, be not afraid or dismayed. I've often told you, when God tells us not to fear or not to be dismayed, he always gives us a reason why not. Here it's be not afraid or dismayed. Why? The battle is not yours, but God's. If we as Christians had to do everything in our own strength and power, we'd have reason to be so fearful and dismayed. But when we seek to resist the devil's temptation to sin, when we seek to stand for the truth of God's word, when we face the opposition of an ungodly world, when we go into all the world and preach the gospel, God reminds us the battle is not yours but God's. It's not in our strength, but in God's strength, we do these things. And when we go through great afflictions, let's not for one moment think that God sovereignly reigns in heaven, totally unconcerned about you. Why, we're told the exalted Jesus, God the Son, is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. They had nothing to fear, and for good reason. For God tells them in verse 17, I'll be with you. I think often as believers, we forget how precious that is, the presence of God. And he tells them what they are to do at the beginning of verse 17, which in fact really is nothing. Ye shall not need to fight. God calls them the next day to go towards the enemy and stand still and trust in him, and they would see the salvation of the Lord. And we see in verses 18 and 19, they demonstrate their trust, faith in God. For they're offering praise, thanks to God for an unlikely victory they hadn't even experienced. But they did what is so important. God said it, and they believed it. And Jehoshaphat further encouraged them to believe in God's word. Is God's word given through the prophets in verse 20. And again, he encouraged them in verse 21 to sing God's praise for an anticipated victory. Then they did all that they could do. They set ambushes, but God intervenes. And he causes the enemy, remarkably, to destroy themselves. In military conflicts down through history, there have been many sad occasions when allies in the same combined forces have ended up mistakenly killing each other. It's hard to say that's what actually happened here. It seems there were factions amongst them who didn't get on, and they turned against one another and fought one another. But you can imagine the people of Judah's shock, because they hadn't done anything, and they come, and we see in verse 24, they find the enemy dead, their bodies scattered everywhere. And they took the spoil off them and returned, praising God for an amazing victory. A victory which puts fear into the other surrounding nations as they heard what Judah's God had done to their enemies. And it resulted in a time of quiet and peace, because now everyone was fearful to go against Judah and their God. Now we read all this in God's word. As I say, so far so good. Jehoshaphat is such a godly example. Clearly the general overall direction of his life was doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But now we see he didn't always do that, as we don't as believers in Christ. He did that which wasn't right in the sight of the Lord. You could almost describe it as a besetting sin, because he did it twice with very negative outcomes. What was it that he did? Well, on two occasions he made wrong alliances. First of all, he makes an alliance with ungodly Ahab and Israel under him, who were ungodly people at the time. And then he makes an alliance with ungodly Ahaziah and ungodly Israel. We read of his alliance with ungodly Ahab in 2 Chronicles 18. For Jehoshaphat has his son to marry Ahab's daughter. It seems he thought this was a very good idea, because it would cause the two nations to have a greater cooperation and be united. But the problem was, Ahab and the people of Israel had totally departed from God. And following this, Jehoshaphat, now in alliance with Ahab, is persuaded to join with Ahab to go against the Syrians to recover Ramoth-Gilead from them. And the false prophets of Ahab said they were to do this because they would be successful. But God's prophet, giving God's word, Micaiah, said this wouldn't be a success. But sadly, Jehoshaphat, because he wanted to maintain this alliance, went along with Ahab and his false prophets. There was an indifference to doing the will of God. And Micah made clear in his prophecy, Ahab would be killed. So when they go into the battle, this king Ahab, Joshua had made an alliance with, so much for having any care or thought for Jehoshaphat, he disguises himself. And he leaves Jehoshaphat to wear the emblems of royalty and leadership in the battle. So in the battle, the Syrians, presuming Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel, they attack him. And fearing for his life, in desperate need, he cries to God for help. And God in his mercy delivers him. And as for Ahab, a Syrian soldier randomly fires one of his arrows, but God directs the arrow. So it hits Ahab in the only vulnerable place in his armor, and he died as God said he would. So Jehoshaphat just escaped with his life, God delivering him. His alliance with ungodly Ahab, ungodly Israel, was nearly a total disaster. But then again, we see at the end of chapter 20, he forms an alliance with ungodly Ahaziah and ungodly Israel, making a fleet of ships together. But God again makes clear to Jehoshaphat his displeasure at this alliance with the ungodly. And he causes their fleet to be totally destroyed, more than likely by a severe storm. So God, on two occasions, really rebukes Jehoshaphat for really what was friendship with the world, which would be so damaging to his conduct, making him indifferent to God's will, to God's word. Friendship with the world can be so damaging to a believer in Christ's character and conduct. If Jehoshaphat thought through this union with Ahab and Israel, through this union with Ahaziah and Israel, he would bring them up spiritually to his level, he was totally mistaken. He somewhat descended to theirs and was indifferent to the will of God. Now, when God tells us to come out from the world and be separate, he doesn't mean to cut yourself off from all contact with the world, some sort of monastic existence. The reality is, in life that we associate with, we have a lot to do with non-Christian family, maybe non-Christian students, non-Christian work colleagues. But what we are not unnecessarily to do is to form close relationships with people when we don't have to. Because if we do, don't think you'll bring them up spiritually to your level. More often than not, you'll descend to theirs. God makes clear to Jehoshaphat his displeasure with him for joining with ungodly Ahab and Israel, ungodly Ahaziah and Israel. His displeasure was because he was getting far too close to those God said hated him, were at enmity with him. And Jehoshaphat nearly lost his life because he got too close, too united with those that didn't love God as he did. He lost his fleet because he got too close to those who didn't know and love God as he did. And often the testimony of a believer in Christ, their spiritual usefulness, can be damaged by getting too close to the people of the world. And then starting to act and behave like them, not as God requires us to do. And these two examples that Jehoshaphat set to the people of Judah didn't help them at all. He clearly went contrary to God's will, was indifferent to the will of God, forbidding these alliances. And they, in turn, became somewhat half-hearted, indifferent, when it came to doing the will of God. For we're told in verse 33, the high places, they weren't places of worship to false gods. They were fair places of worship to the one true God, but falsely, wrongly using idols. They hadn't been taken away. And we're told the reason was the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. They were half-hearted when it came to God's will, which was to remove these things. And as a result, Jehoshaphat found it hard, having been indifferent to God's will and going against it on those two wrong alliances with the ungodly, to now get the people persuaded to take away those things that were contrary to God's will. In the book of Ecclesiastes, there's an interesting little statement at the beginning of chapter 10 about dead flies spoiling the odor of a perfumer's perfume. Just as a little sinful folly spoils the testimony of the believer. There was so much in Jehoshaphat's behavior that was a good spiritual example to the people of Judah. But the dead flies, as it were, spoiled it. His foolish alliances with ungodly Ahab and Ahaziah, kings of ungodly Israel at the time, going contrary to God's will, indifferent to God's will, spoiled the perfume of his godly example. So we need to learn from him, from his good example, of first of all, taking everything to God in prayer. Secondly, doing so with faith. Thirdly, submitting to God's will. Fourthly, knowing with God all things are possible. We need to be those who do these things. Those who praise and thank God even in anticipation because we have such faith in him. But we need to recognize as believers, we can't afford to in any area of our lives, including as the case here, the love of the world, friendship of the world, lack of separation from the world, be half-hearted, indifferent to doing the will of God. Jehoshaphat powerfully reminds every single believer, he that thinketh he standeth, you need to take heed lest you fall. Amen. We'll now sing a hymn. It's the hymn 614 in the Grace Hymn Book. O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me, and all things else recede. My heart be daily nearer thee, from sin be daily freed. You can, having the words, sing along at home, or just follow the music and closely follow the words as you sing. 614 in the Grace Hymn Book. O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me.
Thank you.
Let us pray. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.